stand with me, if you will. We're going to dismiss the children and met each other in a environment of loving Jesus and performing the arts, and they have just, that's been their life and their ministry, but I'll let them tell you about it. But I want to welcome Nate and Leah. I ask you guys to welcome them, and I want to bless them and pray for them, and then we'll turn it over. So why don't you guys come, and welcome them if you would. And Father, we just thank you today for Nate and for Leah, Lord, for the work that they're doing, Lord, for the time that they're in. Lord, we just want you, God, to have your way in their lives. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to the ministry, the spirit that they're carrying, to the anointing and the unction, Lord, and the passion they have for you and for your people. And we say, God, bring it all that you have for us and for them together. Be glorified, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. It's so great to be back with you guys on this stepping into fall season, my favorite season of the year. So this little temp change is like, finally, yes. 2013 was the first time that we came here to Springfield and did some ministry, but I know we met at something happening somewhere in the States. We were trying to figure it out last night, and what we determined was, the reason we can't remember isn't because we're getting older. It's just that it was so long ago. And there is a difference. So wonderful to be back with you guys. Normally, we have a whole entourage with us. We're touring with a community of artists. This time, it's just Lee and I, which is okay. It's nice. We've been here a number of times and co-labored with Scott and the vision, not only here, but actually nationally, with a lot of the things the Lord has done in our nation. It's been a privilege to do the behind-the-scenes interceding and where the real things get accomplished, work of the kingdom. So wonderful to be back with you guys this morning. Really quickly, because it has been a few years since we've been here, it was spring of 2019 was the last time we came through, and there's, you know, a thing or two has happened since that time, not only with us, but with the globe. Been quite a couple years, hadn't it? Just to give a quick introduction of who we are and what we do, we lead an arts ministry called TREAD. That word is taken from Joshua 1:3, when the Lord spoke to Joshua before they went into the promised land and told him, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I will give to you. And so that was a word that was spoken over Leah when she was younger, and then years later when the Lord birthed this ministry, which is 15 years old now, we started in 2007, that passage really stood out, and it really was a mission statement for us and what we believe. But really that is applicable to all believers, okay? Once you know who you are and who your God is, every place you go, something should change, right? When you step into a new place, the atmosphere should shift because you're bringing something in that wasn't there before. And you have to believe that. You have to live your life with that understanding and with that confidence, because we're called to be a light and to see the world change around us. Amen? Okay, so it's really tricky to describe what we do, and especially because you're not going to see it this morning, we're not going to grab some drums and do a little thing. So what I want to do is show you one of our recap videos. It just kind of give you a picture and give some more insight to what it is, where we're coming from, and when we say this is what we're doing and where we were doing it, it kind of gives you a glimpse of that. So this is actually a recap video. It's an older one. It's from 2017, and you might say, well, we want to see some new stuff. I'm like, well, the reason we're going to use this one is because it's only a minute long. Most of our recap videos are 4 or 5 minutes, and we have a bunch of them on our YouTube channel. So if you want to see some more of what we do, and there's lots of testimonies on there and lots of great stories of what the Lord has done all over, not only in the States but around the world. We've, as a ministry, since 2016, we've been in 32 nations. So the Lord has really released us primarily into Europe, but also in Asia and Africa and now Central America. So We're going where he says to go, and it's always an honor and a privilege to go. But let me just roll this short video, and you guys can see what we do. Every time I watch that again, I feel like I need a nap. That was quite a year. But again, we've been really blessed by the Lord to be sent, to be released, to go and take the gospel to the nations of the world. And it's really what's been in our hearts. In this last year, it's been quite a year of transition, like the last few years have been for a lot of people. For the last 10 years, we were based in Northern California. At the beginning of this year, we were in Dominican Republic for a couple of months, and then we came home early March. A week later, we moved our family and ministry. We moved from California to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a lot closer to here than it was from the West Coast. Tulsa is also where I grew up, so we're back around my family, which is wonderful. It's a blessing. And so we're just navigating, you know, this time of transition and, you know, listening as closely as we can to Holy Spirit and listening for what's next and how we're going to do what he's called us to do. We did just have an amazing summer outreach to Europe, and I would like to just tell a couple of quick testimonies. If you want to put up that first map picture, it'll just give you a quick scope of what we did. We were there for 5 weeks. We ministered in Switzerland, in the Netherlands, and then basically all of the UK. So that was a 5-week trip, drove all of that, except for the part where we're on the ferry, which was also very interesting. So planes, trains, automobiles, the whole thing. So we were able to minister in several different cities in these nations and share the gospel on the streets. That's what we do. And so this next short clip, I think, is from a gathering that we partnered with in the Netherlands called Awakening Europe, and they do stadium crusades. So if you can play that next little clip, this is kind of a time lapse. This is the altar call from one of the nights. So we did 4 nights in this arena, and about 1,000 people, 500 to 1,000 people a night received the gospel and received Jesus. So what we do when we partner with Awakening Europe is we go out to the streets all day, and what we do is perform. We gather people, we share the gospel. We also invite them to this big event at night, like, hey, come check out, you know, it's going to be great worship. There's going to be lots of people. It's going to be a good time. Come and join us. And these arenas, they get filled. And so every night, people are there sharing the gospel. And years ago, Reinhard Bonnke was one of the speakers. Todd White, if you know who that is usually a part of their sharing and telling testimonies, and people just respond. So I know a lot of you may have heard over the years that Europe, it's really hard, you know, they're really closed. That's not really accurate. I mean, especially after the last couple of years. We were really excited to get back because we couldn't go to Europe for a couple of years, because what we do is gather people, and what they didn't want you to do is gather people. So they're like, tread, stay away. But we were really excited to get back and see what the atmosphere was like. And I tell you, people were just so open and hungry, and there's a little bit of desperation because there's just been this tumult, you know, of the last couple of years where people are just unsettled and like, what's happening? And things are shifting, and they They're looking for something that's authentic, something that's real, something that's stable. And so we tell them about the rock. Yeah? Something that they can grasp onto and something that they can have a firm foundation and tell them about Jesus. And people were really open and receptive. If you put up that last picture, this is really Leah's testimony, but I'm going to tell it because she's going to come up in a minute and share with you guys this morning. But so we were out in the streets. This is in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And we had just done some performance, and somebody was sharing the gospel. And Leah noticed this lady from across the square. She kind of had paused and was standing there listening. And often Holy Spirit will just like, you know, there's a crowd of people, but somebody's like highlighted, you know, you just like, that's the person, that's the one, you know. And so as it was kind of winding down, Leah made her way over and said, "Hi, I noticed you were, you know, listening. Did you, you know, have any questions or something I can answer for you?" And she said, "Well, I ride my bike through this square every day on my way home from work. And last week I was just, you know, I've never been a religious person, but, you know, my mother is, she's been a Christian a long time, and I don't really know much about it. But last week I just was having such a hard time, and I said, I don't know if you're there, God, but if you are, I just want to know you or know more about you. And today I'm riding my bike through this square, and I just hear this lady talking about God and about Jesus. So I stopped just to hear what it was like. So can you share with me more about that?" I mean, that's the easiest it gets. But that actually isn't super uncommon. You know, people are just like, tell me more. What must I do to be saved? You know, it's like right out of scripture, and it happens right there on the streets. And so we had a wonderful summer with our team traveling around, and really blessed to be able to go again, especially back to Europe. Our heart is really there. Of course, we'll go wherever the Lord calls us to and sends us. But we want to thank you guys for being a part of that sending, of being behind us, not only in a financial sense, but also in prayers. And so we invite you guys to follow our journey. You can, the best way is, of course, the way where the world's gone is the social media. So on Facebook or Instagram, we try to keep people engaged and posted on our activities, and that's really the easiest way to say, "Oh, now they're over there," and, "Oh, now they're over there." You know, it's a lot to keep up with us at times, but we really would appreciate your engagement in that way and your prayers. That would really enable us to do what we're called to do and do it more fully. Amen. So we are super glad to be back with you guys this morning, and just, you know, there's sometimes in life you form relationships that no matter time and distance, there's really no ebb and flow of that relationship. It just is because the Lord established it, and that's how we feel about you guys in House of Prayer here in Springfield. So thank you for having us this morning. I know Leah's got something on her heart to share with you. I'm excited to hear what she has to say because I have no idea what she's going to say. And so it's always good, and you're going to be blessed. So thank you.
Yeah, we love the House of Prayer. We got our start actually in the House of Prayer, and when the ministry began to be birthed, the Holy Spirit just kept us in this place of our church. You know, did the harp and bowl flow, and so we would listen to the music and what was happening in prayer, and then begin interpreting it through dance. And luckily, there was like only six people there because, of course, it was like a super weird prayer meeting. But that's allowed us to begin exploring the creativity of what the Lord was going to do when I had no idea. So we have spent a lot of time and we're very comfortable in the House of Prayer. So we just want to bless you for your faithfulness of standing in the gap for your city and for your nation. The Lord needs the houses of prayer all over this nation. So I bless you as all intercessors. I was raised by a crazy prophetic intercessor. So she's partly part of the problem of why I'm a little wacko. So just a super quick story. If you haven't heard my testimony, I was saved at 5, went down the altar call at 5, got filled with the Holy Spirit at 7, began speaking in tongues, have known the Holy Spirit my total life, my whole life, and have a very vibrant and dynamic relationship with him. And we say that because I'm going to share some things that he showed me, and so I'm just giving you a context for it. At 13, I went on my first missions trip and felt the call of the Lord on my life, and I surrendered my teenage years to the Lord. Said, Abba, use me, use me, use me. What does it look like to live a life that's just poured out at your feet? What does it look like to live my life with no regrets? Because Jesus is so worth it all. He's so worth it all. So I dedicated my teenage years to the Lord, and at 18, I had a prophetic word. I was waiting for the Lord, like, use me, put me to work, and I got a prophetic word that the Lord was going to use me in dance. And dance was my passion above everything. You know, he's kind of like, he's a good father. How can it be that the thing that I dream about the most, the thing that I'm so passionate about, is what you actually called me to do? Wow, because he put it in me before I even discovered it, right? And then I begin to walk in it and do it, and he just gets, he laughs, he gets all the glory. I'm a really fast talker. I'm slow. Do y'all want Nate to come back up about now? Right. At 18, this woman prophesied over me. She said, the Lord has anointed you to dance, but it will not be a dance of beauty and grace. It'll be a dance of war, because I've anointed your body to declare war on the enemy. And everywhere that the sole of your foot shall tread, God says, I will give it to you. And when you dance, you will cause the forces of darkness to back up, because you will challenge them with the authority of the face of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So that's why I'm a little weird, okay? So at 18, I went into full-time ministry in a performing arts company, and then a few years later, I met Nate, and he signed up on the crazy train, and he had a degree in biology, but we did not, you know, we didn't do biology at all, yeah. So then the ministry was birthed in 2007, and in 2007, I had a rare opportunity to have a man lay hands on me who was a mystic, a powerful man of God. And after that time, I began seeing in the spirit and having super intense and crazy encounters. And it took me a while, a long time, to acknowledge that what I was seeing was real and to talk about them and to be okay with the revelation that I was receiving from them. So when I asked the Holy Spirit, I've been carrying you guys in my heart, when I asked him, what do you want me to talk about, he highlighted a certain encounter, and it's very dear to me and very vulnerable, so I'm a crybaby like Scott. I've never shared it publicly because it's something that's actually very recent that I've been navigating, and so it's a gift to you today, so I pray that it is anointed. I actually have just recently been navigating a dark night of the soul, and you can't tell because on social media it looks like I've been present and fully invested in working in the ministry, but I've actually been quite hidden. I've been sick for about 3 years, battling some chronic illness and injury, and it's been a very intense battle on my mind and my ministry and my walk of life and my relationships. But the Lord has been able to have access to things that he would not have access to any other way. Because often when we have to navigate these really difficult seasons, we tend to focus on what's right in front of us, when really it's just about the Lord. It's just about him making us more into his image. And my question needed to be, what do you want to be for me in this moment that you could not be any other time? Because now you have parts of my attention. And the first time, but for the first time in my life, I could not move. I could not dance. I could not exercise. I couldn't do anything. I was stuck, bedridden, like on the couch, almost for a year and a half. Also, I've navigated recently some very painful betrayals. And so that's what the Lord told me he wanted to speak to you about today. It's about the woundingness that comes, about moving from woundingness and pain. Not necessarily particularly within the context of betrayal, although that's how it has looked in my life, and how to let the pain manifest and bring you more into the image of Christ, because he has need of you. He has need of you, and often the enemy can come, and he lies to us, and he weighs us down, and life, pain, hurt, woundingness, pain is going to happen in life, but how do we navigate that as the body of Christ? Right? In a way that takes us from glory to glory. So I have been navigating this really difficult betrayal, and it's been long and drawn out and complicated, to be honest. And my heart was just broken. And I couldn't fix it. I just couldn't fix it. I just had to wait and wait and wait for the Lord and pray and pray and pray and just get in my prayer closet, in my prayer closet, in my prayer closet, in my prayer closet. And then we had some trauma happen. Like I said, my body was weak and my mind was weak. And then about a year ago, I went through a scenario that was relationally extremely difficult. It was some false accusations, a lot of misunderstanding, miscommunication. And it was just like my whole world just imploded and I couldn't see straight. It was just like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm finished. Like, I have nothing left to give. I have nothing left to stand on. I'm exhausted. And my heart is broken. Abba, who, where are you for me in this moment? And where have you been? And what are you navigating in the midst of this? I mean, it's just like all of the questions came up. And for the first time in my life, I said, I quit. I'm done. I'm done performing. I'm done standing in front of people. I'm done, you know, whatever. I'm done with all of it. And I crashed into my prayer closet. I didn't come out for 3 days, honestly, almost. Nate would come in and be like, are you okay? I'm like, just give me a few more moments. And so in one of those times, I had this encounter with the Lord. And I have named it union. And I'm going to read some of it and then teach some of it. So I was in an intense battle with shame and condemnation, self-hatred and worthlessness. Because what came over me in the midst of this betrayal is the fact that I hurt someone and someone hurt me. And the circle of life causes, we're not perfect people. We do move through failures. And just the pain and the heartache caused me to feel so ashamed. And also some of the scenario, the way that it went down, the shame just overwhelmed me. It was like this really heavy blanket that I couldn't get out from underneath. And the intensity was like none I'd ever faced before, and I was overcome by the pressure on my mind and my soul. I feel like I could not breathe under its weight, and I was swallowed in darkness. Has anybody been there? There's just something that's so powerful about our vulnerability and our transparency before the Lord, because he's not surprised. Not only that, but he loves it when we can humble ourselves in those places and say, I got nothing left. All that, this is going to have to be you. And yet in the midst of it, to be able to say, even though I do not see where you are, I know that you are good. And I know that the call on my life is real. And I know that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. The voices of self-hatred and failure were so pervasive in my thoughts, and I found myself identified with being poor, wretched, blind, and naked. All of a sudden, I could see in this vision, I could see myself, a version of myself, and I was in the dark, and I was clothed in rags, and my garments were torn and old, and I was tired, and I was covered in dirt. So there were like places where what I was wearing was, you know, like completely torn. There were holes in it. And then in front of me, as if in a mirror, another version. So here I am, clothed in rags and dirt, exhausted, full of shame, self-criticism, hatred. How can I go on? The pain in my heart is so real. And all of a sudden, in front of me appears another version of myself. But she was magnificent. She was magnificent to behold. She was luminous and full of radiant light and perfection. Her skin was glowing. She power and strength and confidence flowed from her. Her garment was radiant white, and she was stunning to behold. And I knew that this is who I am in the spirit realm. This is actually who I really am. Wow, church, what if we could actually see what he sees? What if we could actually see this is just skin. This is just a garment, right? The reality of who we really are is what we're working out every day in our mind, right? Through this process of sanctification. So much of it is right here. Because the spirit realm is actually more real than the physical realm. Yes, you guys are with me. And so I've actually met this version of myself before in another encounter. So as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. And in the other encounter that I had, I met Jesus face to face. And he was just gazing at me with his intent love. And as I was beholding the way he was looking at me, I could then see myself in perfection, My skin was perfect. My hair was like, there's no sickness. My DNA was perfect. I mean, only power and strength and life flow through us. Who are we really? We live in the earth world. We live in the dirt world. We're clothed in these garments, if you will, right, of carnality. But yet, who are we in the reality of another dimension in another realm? This is how the body of Christ should think. Ugh, wouldn't it change everything, right? I knew this is who I was in the spirit realm. And even though it was difficult to look her in the eyes due to my shame, I lifted up my gaze and I met her gaze. And I said, I feel so wretched and I am so ashamed of who I am. I'm lost in self-hatred and worthlessness and I feel like I can barely lift my head to look in the mirror. And the weight of failure and accusation has overcome me and I no longer know the truth about myself. And she looked at me intently and she said, do you want to see what I see? Suddenly, I'm now in the other version of myself looking at the dirty me. And within the holes in my clothing and behind my face, a faint light of the image of Christ began to appear. So through the wounds and the scars, his light began emanating. It's our choice. It's our choice, church. It's our choice. And then the faint image of Christ began coming up like this. And she said, through your weakness and your pain, you can be transformed into his image. As the reality of this truth washed over me, I began to feel hope rise from the depths of my buried soul. And like a faint voice in the wind, it began to whisper. She then said, now look at me. And tell me what you see. And now I'm standing in the other version, my wretched self beholding her. And she was the epitome of light, glory, power, and perfection. I gazed more intently upon her and I saw the image of Christ move to the forefront of what I saw. And he wasn't just showing through parts of her, but he was in complete union with all of her and there was no separation of the two of them. The light within her was his. She was holy and righteous and confident in the identity that she found in him. She said to me, you say of yourself, you are wretched, poor, blind, and naked, but I say I am the resurrection and the life. Because he is resident within us. Yes? He is. It is who we are. Yes, it's who I am becoming, but maybe it's not all just external. Maybe the kingdom is within. Maybe the process is about me discovering the reality of the power of what he has already done inside of me. She said, you say I'm lost in shame, but I say I am the way and the truth and the life. You say I'm blind and in the darkness, but I say I'm the light of the world because what he is, so am I. And therefore, who he is, you are. Church, that's for you today. Who he is, you are. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So then he told to turn. She then said, turn and look behind me and tell me what I saw. Tell her what I saw. And I looked over my shoulder, and I could see a line of people. They were actually in a diagonal line behind me. And they appeared to be similar to me. They were clothed in darkness and in rags. And some of them had the similar appearance of Christ beginning to shine through their wounds. And she said, do you know who these are? These are the people that you have hurt and will hurt you in the future. Wow, because he already knows all of that. He already knows every betrayal that I will ever face, every heartache, every bit of wounding. He already knows. And yet they were emanating Christ as well. But the choice that you all have, so myself and all the people that have hurt me, the choice that you all have is to search for Christ in the midst of the pain and let it transform you into his image. Just as you are in the process of transformation now, you will decide how deeply you allow it to transform you into his image. You are not responsible for their choices, and others are not responsible for yours. And as you humble yourself and learn to love yourself in spite of failure, you will empower his image to shine brighter and brighter through you. It will continue until you are mature and complete, and the two of you are one. Because he says, count it all joy when you face various trials, because you know that your suffering is producing patience, and let patience have its perfect work so that you will be mature and complete. In the midst of this chronic illness that I have been navigating, I really came up against a battle with my theology because I'm kind of a minister of the gospel, and I pray for people, and hopefully they get, it was just like, why aren't you healing me, right? Like, healing is supposed to work. It's not working. Where are you, and what are you doing? And instead of being able to have patience and reflect the image of Jesus throughout all of it, I was very frustrated, very frustrated. And it took a year and a half. It's a long time. Some people are kind of hard-headed, I guess. A year and a half before I heard from the Lord. Because, hey, I know the word, and I know your character, and I know what the word promises. So if I just hit you over the head with these scriptures enough times, you're going to heal me. You are going to heal me, right? Like, does that make sense? Like, my mind. But then there's a word of faith, too. Like, well, no, you just keep standing on it. You just keep saying it. But so I had to surrender in this process, and one day the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this is not actually about your healing, it's about your will. Ouch. This is about you surrendering to me in the process and my goodness, and you trusting me, just being at complete peace if you never pray one more time for your healing. It's about surrender. I was like, it has been 18 months of me laying here. I really wish I would have figured that out sooner. But that's the point, is my flesh had to die. I had to get to that point to be like, okay, you know what? You're good. You're good. You know, we know he doesn't heal everyone, does he? He doesn't. Yeah, exactly. Eventually. Yeah. Eventually. We don't have the answers on this side. But what I do know is that we are supposed to say you are good even when I don't understand, and the promises of God are yes and amen. And I will humble myself and say, Jesus, transform me into your image no matter what the outcome is. Because I know amazing people who are tremendous people of faith who are sick, very sick. And so I kept finding myself comparing myself to them. He's like, you stay right with me. You keep your eyes on me. Let me work out my process with you. Do not compare yourself to anyone else. Stay faithful to what you know of my character. And slowly, my flesh was dying. My flesh was dying because my body could not heal itself when I'm laying there just so angry and frustrated the whole time. So I began saying, okay, I surrender. It seems to me like it would be better for me to be healed and, you know, treading on the nations of the earth, because that's what you told me was your plan for my life. It seems like that's what you would want to be doing with me. But if you think it's better for me lying on the couch, learning about surrender and patience and perseverance, then hallelujah, I surrender. Okay, she said, now I want you to look behind you. Then she said, now I want to look in front. I want you to look in front of me. And in front of me was another line of people. So behind me was the people that hurt me. Sorry, I kind of skipped ahead in this one. I read it. And in front of me was people behind me was the people that I would hurt. In front of me were people that would hurt me. And we were all in this process of transformation. Because often we tend to see what God is doing. We see it through the wrong lens. Right? And then on the other side of me, she said, now I want you to look and tell me what you see behind you on the other side. And there was this huge mass of people. And they were all dressed in white, and they were full of light and hope. And she said, do you know who these are? These are all of those that you will help through the transformation of Christ in you. and who the enemy is trying to stop you from helping. Do not let your failures determine the outcome of your future. Listen to this. And we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another, which comes from the Lord. So when I woke up out of when I came out of that encounter, I was like, what is that scripture about beholding him as in a mirror? And the Lord, and I basically was like, oh my gosh, you have totally given me a picture of this. We are continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. So we should count it all joy when we face various trials. Whether it comes in the process of sickness, whether it comes in the loss of a loved one, whether it comes through betrayal and deception and heartache and pain, we are being progressively transformed into his image, and it's our choice how that happens. For me, it was humbling myself in my prayer closet day after day. I give you the pain. I give it to you. I bless. I choose to forgive. I choose to bless and choose to forgive. I choose to bless. I repent of my own ambition, my own dreams. I lay it all down. I lay it all down. Abba, let me be as you are desiring me to be, even though it's been through difficult life circumstances. In Romans 8:28-29, we are assured and we know that God works all things together and is fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. For those he foreknew, he also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. So I don't know where this fits. All I know is supposed to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But I do know that this house of prayer is pivotal for what God is doing in the city and the nation. And if you allow heartache and pain and betrayal to silence you, to stop you from singing, to stop you from praying, to stop you from surrendering, then the enemy begins to have his way in us. Wow, what does it look like as the body of Christ to be able to navigate really difficult life circumstances in humility and vulnerability in a way that says, Jesus, show me who I really am? Right? You all have this version of yourself. You all have a version in the spirit realm, who you really are, with Christ emanating through you. And as you're transformed, as we're transformed in the spirit of our mind, we begin to walk into the fullness of that. Wow, what would it look like to have intercessors that knew that you were full of the radiance and the power and the strength of Christ everywhere that you walked? How would it change your prayers? How would it change the way you serve? How would it change what you're doing in your everyday life? So I want to pray. I'm just going to pray like a general prayer. Sometimes I have to tell people what that is, but you guys all know that that's Holy Spirit. I was trying to tell another church, I'm sorry, there's nothing wrong with me. Well, no, there is definitely something wrong with me, but it's the Holy Spirit. But I got a word for you, Scott, and it was actually just one word, and I didn't actually really know specifically the meaning of it, so I looked it up, but it was sentinel. And that is a soldier who stands watch and keeps guard. And I saw you above the Capitol. I have no idea how much you guys pray for your city, your government, all that stuff. But you were in the spirit realm above the Capitol here in the city. And you were standing guard over the city. And the anointing on you, therefore, on your body and on the house of prayer. And you were actually combating with the princes of the air in the city. But instead of engaging in direct warfare, you were establishing the throne room around a circle. I don't know if there's a steeple or something, but I could see like this Capitol building. And then you were establishing the government of Jesus and these seats of government that the Lord was allowing to be put in those places that was therefore going to influence the city. because the Lord says that I have need of you. And he has come to strengthen you. He's come to strengthen that which remains, because the way that you have navigated the deep, troubled waters of the soul has brought him so much glory. And he says that he's going to, there's an elevation that's coming, but for you not to be fearful about it, but to know the Lord has established his throne. He has established his word in this house of prayer, and therefore he's going to increase the influence that you're going to have. And there are going to be prominent people that you have influence with. And there's also, I don't know if it was in the spirit realm or if it was literal, that there was people being placed in these seats right around the Capitol. And those places were being held. You guys were standing guard. You were standing watch. And then your prayers were having access to so much more than what was right in front of you, so much more than what you could see. So, Father, I just thank you right now for an empowerment in Jesus' name. I thank you for strength after strength after strength. God, we thank you for resurrection life and resurrection power. We thank you that the same Jesus, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is resident within us, and it is resident right now, Jesus, inside Scott and inside Kelly. God, we thank you right now for a rising up and a strengthening from within. I thank you, Father, for your supernatural endowment of dunamis power in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you that this house of prayer will stand. I thank you, God, that this house of prayer will begin to break through in new realms, God. We thank you, Father, for your government to be established. And we say, Jesus, be exalted, so that the government rests on your shoulders, and have your way in this city. Have your way in this state. God, have your way in this nation. God, I thank you right now for any intercessor in here who's been bearing under the weight of pain and betrayal and woundedness. You can just stand up right now. God, I thank you for every intercessor, everyone, Father, who has been bearing the weight of woundedness and betrayal and saying, God, it's so heavy. How do I continue? Father, I thank you right now for breakthrough in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would just come. Blow right now. Blow with your wind and blow with your power and lift off every heavy weight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, for a supernatural empowering to stand guard, to stand in the gap, to stand as sentinels over your city. And I break now every demonic bondage, all oppression that has come to wear down the people of God in this building and in this church. And I break it off right now in Jesus' name. I break off shame in Jesus' name. I break off condemnation in Jesus' name. I break off criticism in Jesus' name. I break off worthlessness in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now for supernatural strength that comes from the Holy One in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you right now, Abba, that you will have your way. You will have your way. There is nothing that the enemy can do to stop it, to thwart it. And we say in the midst, Jesus, get your glory. Jesus, get the glory that you paid for, because you're so worth it. Jesus, take my pain and my woundedness and my suffering, and I say, transform me into your image. Transform me into your image, Abba. Jesus, we say, make us into your likeness. Make us into your likeness, God. We humble ourselves at your feet and we say, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, Abba, for your great love. And I ask just for anyone in this room who is suffering from a broken heart, from heartache, come with your love right now, Abba. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. Come with your comfort, Holy Spirit. He's touching hearts right now. Come with your comfort. Abba, do what only you can do. Bring your love. Bring your love. Just begin binding wounds right now. Begin binding up the brokenhearted. Oh, come, Holy
Spirit, deeper, deeper, more, 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 more. Bind up the brokenhearted up. Minister with your love right now. Minister with your love. Come, Holy Spirit. I thank you that there is no wound that is too deep, no grief that is so heavy that you did not pay for it at the cross and that your love does not overcome it. So I thank you right now for the love of the Father. We just ask, Holy Spirit, you just continue blowing through this room and minister your love to the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. More, Holy Spirit, more, more. He's coming like a wave right now. More, 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 more. Come, Holy Spirit, come, come, come. More, more, more. I thank you for the love of the Father. I thank you for the deep, deep, deep love of the Father. Let it be released right now and comfort and bring your people, Father, bring your people into the place of hope again. Bring your people into the place of joy in the midst of suffering. Bring your people to be able to bless and not curse in Jesus' name. Bring your people into depths of understanding how to love the unlovely and how to forgive even when there has not been an open door. I thank you, Father, right now for your love to transform them into your image. Thank you, Abba.
Father, we receive all that you have. Lord, we believe that we can continue to receive even after this moment if our hearts are open to you. And so we just say great grace, Lord, to continue to receive. And, oh Lord, thank you for our friends. Sharon, thank you for Leah's vulnerability. God, your timing is perfect. And we just want to thank you. God, that you see us and you know what we need and you know how to deliver it to us. We praise you and we bless you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Couple things here. Number one, we're going to receive an offering for these guys. We're going to bless them today. So if we got some baskets, we're just going to get the baskets back out again. But I want to share a couple other things real quick. These guys have a million stories, okay? I was tempted. We went out of our way. We met and had dinner last night, but we went out of our way to not say anything about anything that's been going on. And I that was on my heart. It's nobody, you know, I didn't want to say, hey, that's what's going on. But we have a relationship that, you know, for the reality of presently, it's eternal. You know, our stories forever are woven together. And so I want to encourage you, Nate just alluded to real quick, hey, you could look up our stuff on, you know, YouTube. You could look up our stuff, on social media. But there's really lots of good fruit in their lives and ministry. And I want to specifically partner with them. One of the things I know is that they've moved back to Tulsa, and I told them yesterday, well, you guys just been gypsies for the last, whatever it's been, 12 years or 10 years or whatever, and they sold their house when they were there and, you know, moved. And so the Lord gave them a promise that there's a house for them. And we want to partner with them in prayer. We want to partner with them any way that the Lord leads us. But I want you guys to know that we'll probably, because they're closer now, we'll probably even grow closer. You know, we'll have an opportunity. We're only, you know, 7 hours apart. But in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we were talking last night, the property values are about three times greater than that they are here. So $100,000 3-bedroom, you know, flat or home, you know, something that's nice here for $120,000, $130,000, is about three times that where they're at. Okay. When I said what the property values were, they're like, maybe I'll move here. And I'm like, I know you won't, because you won't go where the Lord doesn't tell you to. But it's just it's a whole different thing for us to get our mind around. And I want to partner with them in faith. I want to pray with them. I want to believe with them. I want to, as the Lord reveals to us how we can partner, that another miracle. And I said, they've got so many stories of miraculous things that God has done in their lives. But I just, you know, I just felt, hey, we just want to bless what the Lord has blessed. We want to pray and agree with you for your house. And so if you're specifically, because they right now, it's Tread, is these guys and their kids, okay? Because they're at a new place. They're going to rebuild a community. But they're waiting on, I mean, they obviously, there's no shortage of energy. You know, if they could rebuild, they could gather a bunch of people and say, we're going to start dancing across the nations of the earth immediately. But that's not what they're doing. They're waiting on the Lord. They know they have a vision, but they're staying in God's timing. And so if God is, you know, so inclined, I want you to know, hey, we're going to, you know, whatever the future has, our relationship and our partnership goes beyond whether or not we feel like they're being active enough in the mission field. We're supporting them because we can see the fruit of their lives. So I just want to give you a little insight, your prayers and your gifts, as the Lord would lead you. And this morning, we're going to receive an offering for them, and then we're going to bless you guys to get out of here. So Jesus, we just love you. God, we just bless Nate and Leah today in the Tread Ministry. And Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to sow into this good ground. And Lord, we're just asking you to speak to our hearts right now. And Father, as we give ourselves to you, Lord, you are faithful to lead us and to guide us. And we agree and partner with them, God, for the home that would bless their family and be a missions base, Lord, for their house, for what you have called them to. Lord, in all the new things that you're calling them into in this new season of waiting, Lord, we just say great grace upon them. God, let their eyes of their understanding continue to see in the unseen realm, Lord, the place that you've prepared for them. And Lord, we're just thanking you today for the honor to partner with them. We bless them and thank you, Lord, for this offering for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just go ahead. We can do that. We can do a couple things at once here. Now, would you guys, I didn't know if you said it. Is there a next place? I mean, is there someplace you're going? It seems like you told me you guys have something planned going somewhere, but not really. Just next summer, is that what it was? And that's a team trip. Okay, all right. So between now and then, we got to figure it out. Okay, all right, good. So I'm doing two things at once here. I'm writing a check out because I can do two things at once. And then are you okay if we, I know we didn't figure these things out, but we're still such family. Are we okay if we can just make a check out to the hop and then just make you one check, or you prefer having checks to Tread, or doesn't matter? Oh, the hop is easy. Okay, you can make a check out to the hop if you want. And there we go. That's what I'm doing now. And stand with me, if you will. We're going to let her rip tater chip here in just a minute. But I'm not really that good at doing two things at once. So, all right. I want to lift our hands to heaven in this moment. I'm going to ask you to join with me here. Father, we thank you today for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for refreshing and renewing our strength in you. God, I pray today that even as Leah gave us insight on how you see us in the spirit realm, Lord, that we wouldn't walk away from here with just a warm and fuzzy. But today, Lord, that vision would be burned upon our very soul. God, that vision today of who you made us to be, and God, all of those hidden lies, all those things, Lord, that were unwilling, and God, even as she was so vulnerable before us, Lord, that self-hatred and shame and blame and just the ugliness of brokenness of humanity, Lord, of woundedness, all those things, Lord, that we cower or we avoid in reality, Lord, that we've agreed with. Right now today, we say, Lord, let us walk free from this point on. Lord, let us walk in the evidence of the newness of life that you've provided for us. And Lord, let us carry with us, Lord, the wounds of Jesus. Lord, that he paid the price on our behalf to take, Lord, our ashes and turn them to beauty. Lord, to take, Lord, our brokenness and make it whole. Lord, in the name of Jesus today, as we go from this place, I pray, Lord, that power, that resurrection transformative power, Lord, would continue to have its full work. It's full work. We'd say yes in the moment right now, but we say yes from moment to moment, day to day, Lord, as what you've begun here today, Lord, because I believe you've started a journey. I believe some, Lord, you've moved out. Some, Lord, you've pushed on. Some, Lord, you've said, come on, this is a new season, a new day. We can't sit anymore. Lord, we continue to walk in step with the Spirit. And, Lord, you'd bring something beautiful. You'd bring something wonderful. You'd bring something glorious, Lord, out of this struggle, out of this strain, out of the difficulty, Lord, that each heart or each life might have been feeling or walking through. God, we praise you, we thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. There's also, if you want to put in your offering, you can also drop it in the box in the back on the way out. But we just want to, like I said, continue to honor and bless them. So up here, God bless you. You're beautiful. Have a great day. And these guys will be hanging around a minute or two if you want to have something you want to share or ask them or talk with them about.